Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our expository study of the Epistle to the Ephesians. We begin our careful look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 6, which we have titled, Chosen and Predestinated Because We Are Accepted. And before beginning our study, we want to share a letter we love from a brother Ed who lives in Florida. And Brother Ed writes, My brother, my wife and I just found your videos. Your pre-trib videos are the best I've ever seen. I've always doubted because the TBN people believe it, and it just seems too good to be true. Your video showing the difference between the going up versus the coming down in Revelation 19 were crucial, as were your points in the 70 weeks all dealing with Israel. Also, the fact that the epistles never mention hanging tough through the trib makes sense. Bless you, my brother. He says a few other things, and we appreciate his other comments. And he closes by saying, we are listening to your Galatians message now, Ed. Well, thank you for writing to us, Ed. And of course, our Galatian messages are available online for free, and we go through the entire epistle. I think there's more than 20 hours of study there. And those messages on the pre-trib rapture are very important, as there are Bible novices and anti-dispensationalists who are using the internet to attack this precious doctrine and rob believers of the blessed hope of an imminent rapture. So we encourage all of our listeners to get those messages, download them free of charge, and shore up your faith and in the imminent, any moment, rapture of the saints. And if you'd like to write with questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can email us at bbbfohio@yahoo.com. Or you can send your letter to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. That information, the email address and the P.O. Box is available on our website, as always, at bbfohio.com. And now we will begin our study of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 6, by sharing this special that our sister Jennifer sang right before our study at BBF. The song is titled, God Delivers Again.
Of evil have to flee at his
Now, we are beginning our journey through the book of Ephesians. And I'm not going to give you a lot of background on the book itself, because I'll be honest with you, a lot of what you hear about background when it comes to books of the Bible is conjecture. Yeah. We're not really told a lot in the Scripture itself about Ephesians, about the church at Ephesus at the time that Paul wrote the epistle. We also know that by the time Ephesus is addressed in the book of Revelation, at the beginning of in Revelation chapter 2, it is decades after Paul wrote his epistle. And if you don't think that makes a big difference, just think about your own life.
Yeah, amen.
I was just talking to Brother Steve last night about the fact that what you're hearing here at this church used to be preached in all the independent fundamental Baptist churches.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
And today, you can go to a lot of the churches aren't even, they're not even independent fundamental churches anymore.
Amen.
And then a lot of the ones who are, aren't preaching. And a lot of them, what's amazing is a lot of them are carrying Scofield Reference Bibles, but then they don't preach what's in it. It's just an amazing thing going on today. So if you ever tell anybody you go to this church and they say, they believe some strange things, you ought to remind them that, two or three decades ago, this was the typical independent fundamental Baptist church.
Amen.
The strange things have crept in since.
Yeah, real strange.
And one of the things that creeps in, though, to some of the churches is Calvinism. We've titled this study this way for a reason. Chosen and predestined because we are accepted.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Keep that in mind as we continue through the text. Let's go ahead and read it. Beginning in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1, read with me. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Amen?
Amen.
We begin with the author, humanly speaking, who is Paul. We believe, and we have evidence for this belief, that Paul was the human author, but Paul was given the words that God wanted him to write.
Amen.
That means that Paul's letters are Scripture, as Peter calls them.
Yeah.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God.
Amen.
Paul's writings in these epistles are breathed out by God.
Amen.
God is holy and perfect, and so is his Word.
Amen.
And so we believe in an infallible book.
Amen.
We don't have time to go through the whole thing, but I just want to assure you that we have solid scientific as well as scriptural reasons for our faith in the King James Bible.
Amen.
As the infallible Word of God. And the reason we don't use the new versions is because they're not the same Bible.
Amen.
The new versions, they come from a completely different Greek text in the New Testament. That text is not even Koine Greek.
Yeah.
It's classical Greek. So it's not even the right version of the Greek language, let alone the right version of the Greek text. And if you want to know why all the scholars changed, you can read 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
And money isn't just the cash in your wallet, but the new versions have everything to do with owning copyrights. And the men behind them, it was all about them making a name for themselves, money and prestige.
Yeah, amen.
And we're going to leave it at that with the translation issue, but we are using for our study the King James Bible for a reason.
Amen.
Now, we begin with Paul, who it said, an apostle, he calls himself an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. But see, we have to start to deal with this in Ephesians in order to understand the rest of the book. How many of you know that God has a will?
Amen.
Not just talking about the last will and testament. I mean, God's will shall be done.
Amen.
But how many of you know you have a will?
Amen.
And when you stand before God, you will give an account for what you have chosen to do.
Yeah.
You have a will. It is free. But here, the Christians have been fighting for about 1,500 years since Augustine about this thing about God's sovereignty and man's free will. And the devil is in the extremes, and those extremes are Calvinism and Arminianism.
Yeah.
If you stay away from Calvinism and you stay away from Arminianism and you stick to the book, you don't have all the hang-ups that these guys have.
Yeah. Amen.
God has a will, and you have a will. God works His will, and He will either work with or without your cooperation.
Yeah.
You can either choose to be a part of God's big plan, or you can be booted out of it.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to, really. And Paul was an apostle by the will of God. That's true. Now, do you believe that Paul had no choice in the matter?
Yes.
See, a lot of folks in the one extreme view, the Calvinist view, teach that Paul did not have a choice in the matter. I beg to differ. And we will correct Calvinist error and avoid this from happening here at BBF. In other words,
Amen.
There's a reason why I'm preaching the truth about Calvinism. And it's not just because, I'm one of these guys that likes to pick fights with people. The fact is, Calvinism kills churches.
Yeah.
And Calvinism will kill you spiritually.
Yeah.
Yep.
And don't tell me otherwise. 25 years I've been watching it happen.
Yeah. Amen.
And this is the kind of thing that happens in churches that don't protect against Calvinism. That's exactly what happens. And we've got some folks who have had this happen to them recently.
Yep.
You, I'm just telling you the truth. Bible believers go out and preach the gospel and start churches. Calvinists then come in and kill them.
That's right.
And I'm here to tell you, liberalism and the whole false version of Christianity and, you know, all the embracing the sodomite marriage thing and all that, that's doing its number. It's taking its toll on churches. But a lot of dead churches in this country and around the world today are dead because of Calvinism.
Yeah, right.
And we could get in a car and I can drive you to the churches that this happened to. They were started by Bible believers who preached the gospel. Then a Calvinist got in some level of power, and he started packing them with Calvinists. And then the pulpit committee was able to choose a Calvinist pastor, and it's history.
Yeah. Yep.
Then what also happens are, in other occasions, and I could take you to several churches that did this, the pulpit committee was careless, didn't ask the right questions, and unknowingly brought in a Calvinist. Then that man begins to bleed Calvinism into his messages as much as he feels he can.
Yeah.
He begins to pack the deacon board with Calvinists until he finally gets everything in place, and then it's over.
Yeah.
And the non-Calvinists, and I'm here to tell you this is literally, I'm not saying this figurative, they are actually told to leave.
Yep.
Yeah.
The non-Calvinists are told to hit the door.
Amen.
And the problem has been partially that men who aren't Calvinists want to get along with everybody, won't preach the truth, and that's what happens.
Yeah, right.
And that's not going to happen here as long as I'm alive. Amen?
Amen.
So Calvinists say this, God blinded Paul. True. Acts 9. So then God spoke audibly to Paul. True. Acts 9. God's sovereign will was done. true. Acts 9. But see, they act like that makes the case that Paul didn't have a choice. And that's not true. This is true. And it is God's sovereign will to give us choice, even as He works to influence our choice.
Amen.
See, God has a will, but you still have a will. And God works His will, and He will either work with or without you.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you that if Paul had not chosen to receive the Lord and to follow the instructions given to him, we would never have heard of him.
Yeah.
God would have chosen somebody else. Back in Acts 9, verse 6, this is Paul. And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Mm-hmm. And people say, well, he blinded Paul. And he spoke to him audibly. And he still did what's wrong. Have you ever read the rest of the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
And the people who he did just as much or more with, and they still rejected him?
Yeah.
Think of all the people who saw Jesus Christ raise the dead, feed the 5,000, walk on water, and Judas did what?
Yeah.
Still betrayed him.
Go back and look at Balaam. Mm-hmm. He made his donkey talk.
Yeah.
And Balaam still chose to reject God. I'm here to tell you, God loves you enough that He's going to make it very difficult for any of you to go to hell.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Yep.
But you can still choose to go there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As difficult as God makes life for you, you can still go to hell if you still want to. God leaves it up to you. And when you stand before Him at a great white throne, if you're lost, you're going to see all the things God did to try to win you. And you just refused to be saved. That's what's going to happen at the great white throne. Paul surrendered his will to God's will, but Paul still had a will. This is called free will. And in Calvinist circles, that's a cuss word.
Yeah.
And if you say you believe in that, and you believe that man has a choice in his salvation, you will never be ordained. You will never be able to preach. You will never be able to teach in those churches if you say you believe in free will. Now, the verse continues. We establish that Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, just as an example, by the will of God, did not go against Paul's will. He's writing this epistle to the saints, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. These saints, this is the Calvinist version of how the saints are saved.
Who's in charge here?
God's our master. God chooses who will go and who will stay.
That's the Calvinist version of God. And you're one of the little green guys. And whether or not you're saved is whether or not the claw reaches down and plucks you out of the mass of humanity and saves you.
Yeah.
That's the truth. Now, we're about to see these truths that apply to those who are in Christ Jesus already. See, that's the key. It's what the Calvinists do to the text is they pretend that this is something about those who are yet unsaved. And this is how they're saved in the text that we're reading. But that's not what we're reading. What we're reading is those who are in Christ are being told, as believers in Christ, here's what happens to you.
Amen.
And we're not reading about how these saints got in Christ Jesus. You understand the difference?
Yeah.
We're not reading how you got in Christ. We're reading what those who are in Christ now have happened to them. Verse 2, read it. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, The typical response of Christians who read that verse is to focus in on the fact that we have all these spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's true, but that's not really the point of the verse. The focus is not on the blessings, which are wonderful. The focus is on the blesser.
Amen.
You see, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, this emphasis up here is biblical Christianity.
Amen.
Emphasis down here is Joel Osteen Christianity. Amen.
Yeah.
Emphasis up here is biblical Christianity. Emphasis down here is Joyce Meyer Christianity.
Amen.
Emphasis up here is biblical Christianity. Emphasis down here is the Trinity Broadcasting Network.
Amen.
Amen. And if you want to be stunted in your spiritual walk with the Lord, keep your focus on just what blessings you have and don't focus on the blesser.
Yeah.
Right. Don't focus on the one who is giving you those blessings.
Amen.
Now, our greatest criticism of modern Christianity and its greatest failure is man-focused and it is not God-focused.
Amen. That's right.
If you're attending a service and everything is about you.
Yeah.
If you listen to the lyrics of most of the contemporary music today that's called Christian contemporary music, it's about you.
Yeah, right. That's right.
I'll never forget, I rarely even turn on the Christian radio to listen to music anymore. One day I just thought, well, it's got to be something going on once in a while, you know? So I put on WCVO, and the woman is singing, "I am so wonderful. I am wonderfully made. I am. And you know what? There's some truth to that, but it's out of context. And when the psalmist talks about the fact that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, it isn't to praise you. It's to praise the one who made you.
Amen.
And that's the way Christianity today has it totally backwards too often. They want to talk about you are so wonderful. No. These bodies are wonderful, but they're fallen. You're going to die. Everybody know that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Big revelation today. Everybody's going to die. You're either going to go up in the rapture or you're going to die.
Yep.
And why? Because our bodies are fallen. Some of us lack vision or have bad vision. Some of us lack hearing or have bad hearing. Some of us, our hairline is retreating. Amen?
Amen.
And some of the hair is going gray, you know, and some of it's just thinning and wrinkles. And I got to stop. I'm depressing some of you, I know. But you, in a general sense, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that wonderful Creator would like to save you so that you can see what you really were intended to be. God would love to save you and then give you a glorified body. But right now, I don't care how good you think you look, how good a shape you think you're in, you're fallen.
Yeah.
And so stop being so focused on some fallen body that's going to die and be buried and start focusing on the one who made us, who deserves the glory and the praise.
Amen.
That's the point.
God is wanting to encourage every one of us to realize when we obey God, we're not doing it for God. I mean, that's one way to look at it. We're doing it for ourselves. We just want to take pleasure when we're happy. That's the thing that gives Him the greatest joy this morning. So I want you to know this morning, just do good for your own self. Do good because God wants you to be happy. When you come to church, when you worship Him, you're not doing it for God, really. You're doing it for yourself. Because that's what makes God happy. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. See, I have to play these clips here. Some of you think I'm making some of this stuff up, and I'm telling you, this is the bottom line. Your best life now, that's about you, obviously. If you go into the Christian bookstores, the books are about you. What you can get from God. I mean, JFK said, "Ask not what you can do for your country, but ask what you..." Wait a minute, I'm messing it up. I sound like George Bush trying to make a cut. Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And that was a great question.
Yeah.
That would mean Bernie Sanders couldn't run for president, but neither could Hillary. But what about God? Ask not what God can do for you. Ask what you can do for God. Yeah. That ought to be the attitude of the Christians.
Yeah.
And that's been the attitude of the Christians for the most part up until recently. There's some truth in there to some of these things. God is happy with us when we praise Him and worship Him. But it's a complete satanic lie to say that's the reason you do it.
Yeah.
Is because you want to be happy, and God's happy when you're happy. Just, but I had to play the clip because people just think I make that stuff up. Knowing about our blessings from God is important. Don't get me wrong. You should study and understand what you, as you're saved, you're a child of God. And there's a slew of things that have already happened to you, and many promises for you now, many promises for the future. But praising God for His blessings is the point. See, when you understand all of the promises you receive in Christ, it makes you want to praise the Lord, or you're doing it wrong. If all you focus in is what you get and not praising the one who's given it to you, you're just doing it wrong.
Amen.
It makes all the difference in the world. Ephesians 1:6, we'll close, it says, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Everything we're reading about in these verses is to the praise of the glory of His grace.
Amen.
And that's what you should be thinking about.
Amen.
As a Christian.
Amen.
It's all about the cross. It's all about the shed blood.
Mm-hmm.
That if it wasn't for God becoming a man and allowing Himself to be bloodied and abused and nailed to a cross for your sin, you'd have nothing.
Yeah. Amen.
And so as you think about the blessings of God and how good He is to you, you should always be coming back to the works of Jesus Christ on the cross.
Amen.
And what He did to save you. Now, we do end with it saying, He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Yeah.
These promises are only to those in Christ. And what are those spiritual blessings in heavenly places? Very good question. You have to stick around. We'll find out as we continue our study of the Epistle of Ephesians. So keep coming back, and you'll continue to learn about these wonderful blessings in heavenly places. We now come to two verses that people read things into and cause confusion. Here's what verse 4 says. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's what it says. Here's what people, specifically the Calvinists, read into it. According as He hath chosen us to be in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be saved. That's how the Calvinists pervert that verse.